All right, Kiss Army, welcome to the Kiss FAQ podcast. Thank you for giving us your time today and letting us into your head. I hope we don't do any damage. We're just a bunch of Kiss fans and we talk Kiss. So come along for the ride. You've got nothing to lose. Welcome to the Kiss FAQ podcast. This is part two of the celebration of Kiss Asylum. I've got Andy back on the channel because, you know what, I want to do a different spin on celebrating Asylum and, you know, to get away from the numbers and the rankings and kind of the more structured format. I want to go back to 1985 to when I was 14 years old. How old were you in 1985, Andy?
By the time I saw the tour and the album came out, well, there's a debate about the album when it came out, right? It's the dates. So anyways, it'd be like 16 and a half.
Yeah. So we're roughly the same age back then. 85, I'd come out of Catholic school. I was starting high school, ninth grade in public school in Vestal, New York, Vestal Senior High School. I was still at the beginning of 1985. Let me just set the scene for this. I was still wearing button down shirts and corduroy pants going to school. I wasn't a jock. I wasn't a nerd. I wasn't, you know, a stoner or a headbanger at that point. I had just started, you know, kind of enjoying MTV and watching it regularly, and my musical tastes were shifting. You know, in the years before that, I, you know, touched on Def Leppard and Quiet Riot, but I'd moved out of listening to stuff like Duran Duran. Okay. That was just, I had a buddy, Carlos, who was introduced me to Seven and the Ragged Tiger. And, you know, I'd seen Girls on Films and all that shit. Again, MTV. MTV yep. was shifting in the stuff that it was showing as well, getting yep. more into hard rock and heavy metal with the bands like Quiet Riot and Twisted Sister. What were you listening to back in 1985 other than Kiss?
Everybody knows that, you know, the A stuff and of course Wasp. I, you know, again, everybody knows I am like a big Wasp fan. So by then the Wasp was already out because they came out, what, 82, 83 in California. But by the time they hit us here on the East Coast, everything, you know, everything's different. You know, if you hit things from the West Coast, don't get here to like, you know, 5-6 months later, it seems, and vice versa. Right. It seems to happen like that. So when I saw Wasp open up for Kiss in 1984 on the Animal Eyes tour, I think they only did like 3 or 4 shows. It was like Pittsburgh, I forgot where else, Springfield, Massachusetts, which is a complete chaos. It was crazy. And then they played New York City, and that was it. So a lot of people got to see Wasp open up for Kiss on Kiss Asylum. So, you know, I went to a high school that I wore Kiss shirts every day of the week, so I was either the Kiss freak or the Kiss whatever. I've heard it all, you know, so it doesn't matter to me. It's like one ear and out the other. Who cares? So it didn't really bother me. But there were a lot. I had friends that were fan of Kiss too. So it wasn't like I was the only one in my school. You know, there was a good 10 or 15 people. I know that's not a majority, but the school I went to, there wasn't a lot of heavy hot rockers either. You know what I mean? You know, people say, oh, I like Led Zeppelin or I like AC/DC. But, you know, it wasn't like not too many people wore that many shirts. And even when Ozzy was, you know, kind of popular, you know, big at that point, you know what I mean? Because Ozzy did Blizzard of Oz and all that stuff. There wasn't even that many people wearing Ozzy shirts or all that stuff. It was really the school I went to it was just a public high school, you know, and I got crap. You know, I got crap for not just wearing Kiss shirts. You know, I can laugh at myself now. I don't really care, but I didn't really care then. You know, people wearing spandex. I had spandex, zebra spandex, black spandex, headbands and this and that around my wrist, around my legs, around my head. And then the teachers, the principal, vice principal started trying to ban me, getting in trouble for wearing headbands. They made me take them off because they said it was like gang related, you know, so because of the West Coast stuff and that kind of shit going on. And I'm like, come on, it says Kiss on it. It's not, yeah, we're in a gang. Yeah, the Kiss Army gang, you know. So, you know, you know, me, my mother, and then told the teacher, you know, leave the kid alone, stick it, he's in school. You know, they were trying to keep me in high school, and I wanted I hated school. I wanted out as soon as I could get out of there, you know. I just went there more to socialize and just get through it. You know what I mean? That's me personally, because I knew I wasn't going to go to college. I hated school, and that's just the thing. And music made it through. So that's what was going really kind of going on for me wise. You know, and let's face it, it was the 80s. There's a lot of parties, a lot of stuff. But, you know, like you said, you weren't a jock. You weren't a head. You wanted this. I was kind of like, I knew a lot of people. I didn't have a problem with a lot of people unless they had a problem with me. And usually most of the thing was because I had long hair and earrings, which I think was weird, too, because didn't a lot of people in the 70s have long hair and earrings? I don't really get it. But, you know, I would get crap more about my long hair than anything. So in my earrings, it was weird. And so that was the biggest thing that I call problems. But other than that, I got along with the jocks, heads, this and that. So by then, you know, and I had two jobs, man. I know I wanted to make money, right? Because my parents were like rich. My dad would work two or three jobs. And if we wanted something, personally, me or my brother wanted something, you had to work to get it. It wasn't like, oh, bring out the trash and we're going to give you $2. No, you just did it. Those are things you just automatically did for your parents. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You just did it. So if I wanted money, I had to go and get a job. So I would get, you know, jobs. I worked at an ice cream place once. I was picking up trash at times, doing things. I worked at an amusement park called Whalen Park in Lunenburg, Massachusetts. You can look it up. It was like a small place. And at that point in the summertime, so I was working in the zoo crew. And I also did newspapers in the morning. I would deliver newspapers in the morning in the area for all through high school. People were like, oh, that's weird, you know? And even sometimes the buses would go by me and people were like, oh, laugh at me. Oh, yeah. But then when I got my 1970 Hot Rod Nova, you know what I mean, with a 350 in it, people weren't laughing so much. They're like, where'd you get that? Well, I worked. You know what I mean? Yeah. I kept my money and I worked and, you know, and all that good stuff. So that was that. But now,
That was the only way around things back then for me anyway, was to work. I was wearing charity clothes. You know, my parents had split and my mom was struggling to keep a roof over our head. So there was no money to buy music. There was no money for allowances. I did my stuff around the house. I had a paper route. I can't remember when that ended and when I started working in a nursing home. But if I wanted something, I had to find the money myself, because it sure as heck wasn't going to be bought for me. You know, I had had a savings account, but it had been spent to, you know, keep the electrics on. So at school, I wasn't part of any clique. I was just doing my own thing, going home. I had a VIC-20 computer at home. So that was my entertainment. I was watching MTV. But, you know, going back to 1985, what do we have on MTV? We've got Wasp on its second album, Last Command. Those videos are on MTV. Rats on their second album, Invasion of Your Privacy. That's on TV. Plus, Out of the Cellar was still massive in terms of airplay. And Twisted Sister was still, well, they were still massive in terms of airplay before the fall. There were all those secondary bands that never amounted to much other than being a flash in the pan. You know, we got bands like Dokken were big in 85. You know, yep. It's Not Love. Remember that video? You know, AC/DC's back with Fly on the Wall, which is my first metal t-shirt, was Fly on the Wall, baseball jersey or whatever those things are called. Yep. So, you know, just being inundated with hard rock, really taking preeminence on MTV. I mean, I had hard rock. My aunt in England had sent me cassette tapes, you know, even while I'm listening to Duran Duran, Zeppelin 4, Zeppelin 1, I think, Powerage was another, AC/DC, If You Want Blood, You've Got It. So I had hard rock, heavier music coming into my life concurrently, and it kind of sets the stage perfectly. But it's not hard rock, heavy metal. We're not talking Merciful Fate wasn't getting shown on MTV. All of that was still underground and yet to be discovered by me. So we're getting kind of the mass market commercial stuff coming through. When I talk about bands like Dokken and It's Not Love, the dynamic shift from Tooth and Nail into a more radio-friendly, same with Rat, Invasion is much more commercial sounding and softened for mass market acceptability. It's not surprising that Kiss did the same with Asylum.
Well,
here's, there was much more commercial accessibility than Burn Bitch Burn, you know, any way you slice it.
Yeah. And Marmo, too, man, we had just, you know, we had just over here in the United States just got off Kiss Animalize Tour. It's 84, 85. And all of a sudden, in 1985, another Kiss album is ready to hit the stores. And we, you know, the only way you could get info back then, as if you were in that time, is from a magazine or
Separator, Roxy.
Yep. Somebody happened to do something about them, or you happen to see something maybe on MTV, which they didn't really do too much things about Kiss in a way. Or, you know, it's kind of word of mouth, or one of the Kiss fanzines. But the fanzines were always late. It's not their fault, but they're always late. You know what I mean? It was some of the stuff would come after, and you were like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. So when Kiss Asylum came out, now, you know, again, we talk about the reverse date. Everybody says today, right?
Let's just talk about that quickly. Library of Congress says September the 9th. Billboard in the advance releases says September the 9th. Does it matter? No.
It might not matter to a lot of people. There does to some, because everybody wants to be that person. You know what I mean? But here's my gist of it. Back in 1985, I knew I got it on September 12th, because on September 12th, I basically blew off school. It was a Monday, and I had my car, and I knew it. And I, you know, they said the release, so I went down to my local Strawberries down at the mall. I hung out. I literally blew off school, high school. I'm like, screw this. I'm going to get the new Kiss album. Now think about it. We now have heard Tears Are Falling. We have seen the video, and that's all we've got, right? So now me and a couple other friends are looking at this thing on MTV going, how are they going to put this on the stage? We thought that whole volcano and the whole, you know, you know, all that jungle stuff was like, wow, this is going to be a cool looking stage. I mean, a bunch of us were like, this is going to be the stage. This is going to be pretty wild to see. You know what I mean? So that's what we were thinking. And then, so when they came out, I went down there to the, like I said, local Strawberries, walked in there, and I bought my album. Of course, it's on my wall. And then I turn around, and I always say this every time. I would buy two cassette tapes, one to throw in the car and leave it there. You know, and one to leave at home and put it in the cassette player. You know, if you didn't want to play the record, you know, the portable, you know, cassette player, which I still have one, a boom box, you know, boom boxes, right? And the boom box is now like huge money, but you know, I always grab two, you know, and then I put it in the car and I start listening to it. And the first thing you hear those drums, do, 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 ching, 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 ching. And here we're off to the races. And I'm thinking about this is badass. This is cool. You know what I mean? And I'm sorry, anybody can say what they want. This is the last Kiss album that had balls to it until basically maybe Revenge. No offense to, you know, everybody knows what I think about Crazy Nights. Ugh, that really went commercialized and then some. And, you know, I like Hot in the Shade, but Hot in the Shade didn't have that, I don't know, it didn't have that rough edge around it. You know what I mean? It's mostly demos. So Kiss of Salem really is the last, you know, album of the 80s with Kiss on it that had some deep, heavy kid, you know, cuts. You know, like Love's a Deadly Weapon, King of the Mountain. Come on, man. Those songs are awesome. So, you know, after I did that, the next day, because I knew it was a Monday when I bought it, the next day I went to high school, to my local high school, and me, Jamie, Dave, Mark, the Delafield sisters were hanging around. We were doing like a Detroit Rock City. We're hanging around in the parking lot. All our cars are together and hanging out, blasting new Kiss Asylum. Waiting, and all the kids are, you know, people coming in, and we're just hanging around. We're like sitting on the hoods of our cars, and you know, you know what I mean? So we were like, listen to Kiss Asylum, and we're like, yeah. And of course, the bell rings. We're like, yeah, okay, whatever. We'll go in late, whatever. You know what I mean? So that was the introduction, you know, of how I got Kiss Asylum and how this all went off. But now the tour, right? Now we're all waiting for the tour. You know,
wait on the tour because we'll get there.
Okay.
But for me, you know, so this is MTV made me a Kiss fan. You know, I've kind of already walked through that, because late 1985, I don't know when I first saw Tears Are Falling as a video. And to me, it's all a bit of a blur.
Well, because the world premiere, when they say world premiere, you know, every Kiss fan, whoever, well, if you're a fan of that band, you would hear to see it. So whatever the world premiere
that wouldn't have meant anything to me because I wasn't a Kiss fan. This is the one that makes me a Kiss fan. So I know I saw Tears Are Falling. I knew that whenever it came into rotation, I was enjoying it. I thought it was a great video. I thought it was one of the coolest kind of visual creations for a band video. I mean, yeah, in And Out of Love, you get them on the back of a truck. Here you got them with volcanoes. You've got dancing TVs. You've got a girl. You've got all sorts of, you've got Paul Stanley swinging Tarzan style. You've got Bruce Kulick looking awesome with that guitar playing very precisely. Eric Animal behind the drums, sparked. You've got all those kind of elements that appeal to a 14-year-old who just wants, I guess, stimulation. And it's got everything.
And you got to think about it. At this point, Kiss were 10 to 15 years older than a lot of these other bands like Rat and, you know, whoever was popular at the time. You know what I mean? A lot of them were way younger. So Kiss, like, they were all into it. And I'm glad, you know, Bruce was not, as he said, spruce, not like Kiss Animal. He's kind of like stiff as a rock. He finally, like he said, came into his own. And he was like running around all over the place in the videos and stuff. And the videos are just fun. The fun stuff and this and that. And everybody gives crap about the colors. I did think it was weird, though, when I did get the album and the CD, that Eric's face was kind of cut off. I thought that was strange because I'm like, this is the guy who's been in the band longer than Bruce. And Bruce's full face is there. They should have swapped it, I thought, at the time. You know, Bruce should have been more cut and Eric should have been more. And there's no offense to Bruce, but I just thought because of, you know what I mean? You've been in there since.
Yeah, I think that was just because of the scale of it. I think the long box for the CD had the whole thing. I'll have to see if I can find an image of that. But you know what? You're talking about, you know, Rat's young, Motley Crue's young, you know, all these other bands are young. I didn't know shit. I didn't know how old Kiss were. I didn't know that this was their 19th album or 20th or whatever it was. I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything about the history. I may have seen in hit paraders, you know, as I started to buy post-1983 bits and pieces, but none of that had registered. So everything you're saying, Andy, to me doesn't matter because I didn't know any of it. I had no context. I had no reference point for Kiss. If you told me that these guys had worn makeup in the 1970s, I don't know if I would have even connected the dots at that point because I'm just watching MTV. I'm listening to music. I'm seeing image. And I don't know. I've got nothing to measure them by. What does Kiss look like compared to Twisted Sister or Motley Crue in 1985 or Rat? Well, you see lots of bandanas, you see lots of spandex, you see lots of streamers, and you see lots of attitude and macho posturing.
Sex, drugs, rock and roll, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, man. That was,
there was none of that. I didn't know shit about drugs.
You know what I mean? It was a huge, just party atmosphere. That's what it was like. It was a huge party atmosphere.
Party. That was all it was. It was a feel-good factor at a time where my life was tough. Going from Catholic school into public school and being I'm an extremely shy person. Go figure that. but back then, I was very shy. I was, I guess, very damaged by my parents and emotional shit going on in my life. And this was just a vivid escape. So Kiss with Tears Are I hope no one's got epilepsy with those lights blinking.
All of a sudden, one of my lights is like, I'm gonna turn this way a little bit. Oh, there it goes. It dissipated. Sorry about that. That's
perfect.
Weird.
That brings creatures back into frame as well, which is always good. So I had no reference point. I only get to judge Kiss Asylum by everything that surrounds it, and you know, Yngwie at that time, I think that was Trilogy era and Marching Out, same sort of image, same sort of things. Aerosmith, Done with Mirrors, again, that's a little bit more true to their 70s. You know, I'm going to go Aerosmith with you, but
please don't.
Again, Van Halen, look at what they were doing with Dave leaving. They changed their image and made it. Everything at that time kind of fit into that. But then Kiss comes out with a second video And they weren't doing singles in the U.S. They did them elsewhere, but All Night, second video. And I'm sorry, 14-year-old me and those two blonde twins, what more does a young male want in their life than a video like that? It was pushing the bounds. I was on the hook with Tears Are Falling, but I was yanked out of that. Was embedded All Night. That was the solidifier for making me a fan, because it wasn't the same for other bands.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing too, right? He just brought up another point. You know, let's face it, the 70s, you know, I'm a huge Kiss 70s guy, and there's no doubt about the first three albums, and Dressed to Kill is my first, and yada yada, all that good stuff and awesome stuff. There's no doubt about it. But here's Kiss now in the 80s, competing with everybody else, younger bands, all this. And I'm sorry, you could say what you want, but the girls in the 80s, man, I mean, we grew up in that kind of generation. The tight pants, that thing, and they're wearing the spandex and all hotness, man. And I'm telling you, a lot of girls that didn't like Kiss in the 80s, all of a sudden saw the videos and saw that stuff, and they actually started to like Kiss. There were girls who went to some of the concerts in the 80s and said, wow, my God, I love Kiss in the 80s. I don't like them with the makeup on, because they went back. You know what I mean? So now they're going back to check out other stuff, and they loved them more in the 80s than they did the 70s. So they were bringing in more girls in the 80s at one point. So all this is happening, and it's just – again, it comes down to having fun and party. The tickets weren't expensive. You know what I mean? It was just craziness. But I don't know.
When all you're learning about this band is from the visuals in the videos, in the music videos, what I got out of it was that Paul Stanley seemed like that cool older brother I wish I had and didn't have, or the cool older guy in the neighborhood who would show you cool guitar riffs or show you cool music. Hey, man, check out this Zeppelin album. He seemed like that to me. Eric Carr on drums.
Oh, my God, beast.
Absolutely. Yeah, he looked mischievous. He looked like that fun guy in the neighborhood to be kicking garbage cans. Music,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Bruce.
And he was just fun.
Bruce seemed like that very sensible guy. Well, if you want to learn how to play it right, you know, and Gene, to be perfectly honest, I never got back then. I mean, he was clearly a very confused uncle, because Gene seemed old with those awful wigs that he was wearing at the time.
Well,
he
seemed probably
out of place worse versus the rest of the guy.
Well, I mean, that was probably the worst. I wish somebody had told Gene, hey, Gene, man, you know, if you need the wigs, we should really kind of help you out a little bit. But,
well, he looked like Kevin DeBro's brother, you know, with that awful
wig. But you know what? I didn't really care. I'm not looking at his head the whole time. I'm not looking at the head. I'm listening to music, enjoying the party. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. I'm like, okay, it wasn't the coolest looking hairdo we had. Now here's the other. Now I'm gonna get into this subject. People rank on him about the clothes about that time. Now they're like, oh, Kiss is following everybody. Kiss is following. Were they really following everybody? Now here's the point. You can correct me on this if anybody can deep. I didn't dig deep. But when Kiss came out and they're wearing all those clothes, right? Sparkly clothes and all this stuff and that. It was that famous designer that made that stuff for them, right? I forgot the guy's name. It's been out there now. Made their suits or costumes or whatever you want to call them, for Paul's jeans or whatever, right? Now go look at who was like huge at the time, right? Ozzy Osbourne hit it big, right? Because Ozzy was in a huge slump himself and pretty bad, actually. And now Ozzy came out. Now look at Ozzy. Now the Kiss of Silence, 1985. So yep. Kiss already had this look in 1985, and so they started touring in 1985 and going into 1986. Look at Ozzy Osbourne. Look at the video. Oh, my God. I forgot the name of the video. You can see Ozzy Osbourne in a white thing and all the rest of the bands in the colored form by the same designer, but it's in 1986.
Yeah.
So Ozzy copied Kiss for the designer. He went to the designer and said, make me something, make the guy something. So well, think about
that. There wasn't a lot of there wasn't a lot of originality, but at the time it didn't. It's only in recent years in the internet era that anyone's really debated that. To me, back in 1985, I didn't even think about who's copying who. I saw a rat look like Motley Crue, look like Black and Blue, you know, look like Dokken. They all seem to have the same wardrobe, and they seem to share each other's clothing. They were all interchangeable, but they were all playing kind of similar music with their own spin on it. There were the bands that were clearly borrowing from Aerosmith in the 70s. They were clearly borrowing from Kiss in the 70s. Wasp, clearly borrowing. So I could see the inspiration. And that's all I take from it. Now I try not to analyze it to say, oh, they were copying. I'm saying that they were all inspired from a similar kind of style. Look at what the kids were wearing in 1985. I remember a shit ton of hairspray. I remember really bad tight jeans. I remember really bad wardrobes.
Bad
with the kids as well.
Good, better than those saggy kids.
Well, look at the audiences. I mean, blue jean army, basically. You know, there were more blue jeans than leather in the 80s.
I had my battle jacket, as everybody said. I had my jacket, my jeans, my Levi's jean jacket with pins loaded on it, loaded on the thing, and patches all over the place. And I still have all the pins and patches. I took it apart, and I gave my father the jacket because it just got too small for me. And I'm like, I'll give it to him, and he wore it for years. So, I mean, it was like a different every day. So one day I had my battle jacket on, right, going to school with my jeans on and stuff. And then the next day, believe it or not, I had, like the moccasins, like the long ones, the tall ones, kind of like Blackie Lawless with zebra pants on and like Kiss Animal Eyes shirt on. It was like a mix, you know, every day, depending on how you felt, was a mix. So, I mean, some people went, like you said, in polo t-shirts and all that stuff, which a lot of kids did, you know, Isaac or wherever they chest and mark or whatever. Yeah. And that chest place and all that. Cost.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever it is. I don't know.
Yeah, I was wearing Panama Jack and Guess jeans. But what I did with my jeans was I'd scrunch them up in a ball and bleach them so they'd be all sorts of weird-ass bleach designs on my jeans. I did that on my jean jacket. And then I sewed my Kiss back patch on there, my Public Image and Motorhead and pins. Had my pistol stuff on it. I mean, I was a hodgepodge for my war vest. The arms fell off in a motorcycle accident, so...
But I think that's what it was in the '80s too. There was such a mass, like you had metal, like you call it metal, heavy metal. Then you had rock stuff that could go on radio stations, and then you had pop music, and then you had rap music. There was so much weird and different combinations of music and styles of people dressing up. It was crazy. It was just
But we were the hard rock, kind of that genre, because the emerging heavier acts like Metallica, Exodus, and all the stuff coming from the underground scene. Now that was leather, and you know, that was way more kind of less designer than, I guess, you know, the middle class and working class, upper working class kids in the 80s who were listening to the MTV stuff. The stuff coming from the street was very street in its image as well. So Kiss was not that image.
No. And, of course, Kiss was only so popular anyways. Kiss didn't get a lot of, I don't know, TV. You know what I mean? They didn't get a lot of TV stuff. So this was all huge for them.
Wait.
You know, they might not say it.
I'm going to play this. I'm going to play this clip right here.
Well, that about wraps this up, folks. I've had a real good time tonight. Even Disney World has to close. Good things do come to an end. But I want you to know something. I've had a really great time. You?
Good time.
You?
Yeah.
We've had a real good time. Now, listen. Life is as good as you make it, so you make sure you make it good. And I'm going to see you real soon. Goodbye.
That was... Paul Stanley guesting on MTV as a VJ. So he got plenty of TV. They had three by the end of the Asylum cycle. They've got three videos in rotation. I know they re-aired the Animal Eyes concert because that was still in the charts when Asylum came out in late 85. I didn't know, again, I knew none of this at the time. I don't even remember when I first saw Animal Eyes live uncensored. So I know I saw it on MTV, and I'm pretty sure that wouldn't have been in during the first viewing because it just wouldn't have meant anything to me. I wouldn't have stayed up late to watch that at the time because it didn't mean anything to me. So Kiss, it's a weird time because I don't think we were constrained by you can only listen to this, you can only listen to that. We had so much music going on. I mean, I was early 80s. I don't remember when the album, I was still listening to Men at Work. I was still listening to the Go-Go's. I never stopped listening to anything. I was still listening to Paul McCartney.
It's fine, though. It doesn't matter, man. It doesn't. Who cares?
There was no cliques at school telling me I could only listen to heavy metal. There were no cliques in my school telling me you had to listen to the Grateful Dead or it could only be stuff. There was none of that. For me, anyway, my recollection of this is, you know, Kiss naturally slotted in to my life because, as I said, they appealed to me visually, musically, and kind of the image that they were portraying. So I didn't have any baggage attached to becoming a Kiss fan. That's my only point. I have no baggage. I became a Kiss fan accidentally because there were some cool videos on rotation at a time when MTV was pushing a lot of different music. You could sit there and watch MTV for 12 hours. You'd get very little emerging rap. There was King of Rock. There was Run-DMC was around. There was Madonna. There was lighter stuff, but there was so much variety that if you waited 5 minutes, you'd get a Dokken video. You'd get a Queensryche video. You'd get a Wasp video. You'd get a Kiss video. All sorts of stuff. And that's, to me, what makes 1985 the very best thing. I used to sit there waiting for the Motley videos to come back on, you know, smoking in the boys' room. I absolutely loved that because I can tell you the day I bought Asylum. It was not in September. It was on my birthday when I got some birthday money. And I went down to Kmart. Vestal Plaza. Yep. And bought Kiss Asylum and Motley Crue's Theater of Pain. Only one of those albums still resonates with me. It's Kiss Asylum. Motley's is long gone in terms of its meaning to me, even though it's equally important in terms of my MTV music story. It just has not stood up well to the test of time because it sounds like shit compared with Kiss Asylum, which to this day, I was spinning this morning. I get the same feelings today, Andy, that I did in 1985.
Oh, it brings me back. Dude, it brings me back.
I'm 14 years old again. So I'm wearing high top sneakers and over tight jeans when I'm listening to this album.
I love, you know what the thing is too, is all, like I said too, back then in those days, you know, if you weren't in our age group, you didn't hear about it. We hung out all night. We hung all night listening to the cassette and stuff because we had to stay out all night to buy the concert tickets for the next morning, buy the concert tickets that came out and hearing it over the radio, you know, hey, Andy, oh my God, they're announcing, you know, Kiss coming to the Worcester Center and blah, 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 tickets on sale, you know, this date and this time. And I'm like freaking out, you know, that's just the jitters, you know what I mean? You go down there, you see the same people, you hang out with them, you know, you're there for that same reason, to buy tickets and go, not to buy them, to scalp them. Not that you were there to buy them, to go to that show. And it was just so much fun hanging out all night. And, you know, hopefully most of the time, I never got lucky yet. Most of the time when Kiss played up this way, of course, on the East Coast, which is funny, up farther up this way, is it always played more in the fall and the winter time. And of course, you had to buy the tickets in the fall and winter. So it would be kind of cool out. But, you know, everybody hung out and just, you know, played the music, tossed footballs, and you hang out with everybody. You know, somebody would sneak some drinks in and here and there once in a while. Then the cops would come by and say, what are you guys doing? Oh, everybody just hanging out by Kiss. Like, okay, no problem. Just keep you cool. Blah, blah, blah. Don't make a, you know, giant mess and don't yell too, scream. Don't want to wake anybody up around the areas, depending on which area you went to. And so, you know, we all had fun and the cops let us have fun too. We weren't having problems. No, you know, wasn't fights. There wasn't all this bullshit.
You know, they were cool because it wasn't threatening. They knew about it. You know, they wanted to make sure that you weren't up to complete no good, you know, and move you along if they had to. But we had there was in Binghamton where I lived, there was a St. Vincent de Paul church next to Hillel Jewish school synagogue. I can't remember the name of the synagogue. But right between those two faith places was a verge with a grass. And we just chill out on that in between those two with a little boombox listening to tunes. Up behind the synagogue was an elementary school, and there were woods around it. And there was like a little hangout spot just in the woods. And, you know, eventually school security at night would come by with the flashlights, clear out of there, you know. But all we were doing is hanging around, maybe a little bottle of JD to pass around and smoke some, nearly said the English word, cigarettes. You know, but that's all we were doing.
Oh, yeah, because we weren't in the 80s.
Yeah. We weren't breaking into houses. We weren't, you know, going out there.
No.
Doing acts of
stabbing evil. Each other, shooting each other. No,
we were chilling out, listening to music. We weren't even talking sports. No one ever talked sports in my circles. That there was none of that, except maybe in the winter when it was hockey.
No, we just
because we had a local team. Nope. So again, it was just hanging out, talking about music. Hey, did you see that new Twisted Sister video? Wow, they really suck now. You know, Leader of the Pack, that's terrible. You know, you see that new Wasp video? Oh, that's badass. It's got an armadillo in it.
Yeah. And the other thing is too is that we talk about, you know, what's going to happen. What is the stage going to look like? Because, you know, again, you didn't get all that information online and stuff. And if you did, it was too late. Or, you know,
you wouldn't have known. So you started out saying, it's going to look like the Tears Are Falling set. Well, then you go into All Night. It's going to look like the All Night set. And then you get the third video, I guess, which is too late because you would have already seen them by the time, Who Wants to Be Lonely, which is kind of a battleship.
Yeah.
I think for those three videos, before we talk about the live show, which one of those videos did you like the most? What's your favorite Asylum video?
Oh man, for the age thing, I don't know. It's kind of a toss up between the Tears Are Falling and All Night. By the time Who Wants to Be Lonely came out, the video is just, to me, doesn't really make any sense. I know it's girls and wet, and you know, when you're 16 years old, you know how that goes.
But sense.
You know, but it does, you know what I mean? But I don't know. You know, Tears Are Falling is, you know, I'm going to give it to All Night, really, personally. I wish they had done a different video. I wish I had done a Gene song because some of the songs, I mean, even King of the Mountain, dude, that should have been released for more of a heavy thing. You know, I wish they had done a Gene song, but we all know that Paul has now had taken the ship and started to run with it. So it's too bad because King of the Mountain really, I think, should have been released as a single, man, because it just that showed how Paul's voice is. And again, you know, in 1985 too, I think Paul's voice is really outstanding there. I mean, come on, man, if you're a huge Paul Stanley fan, this should be really one of the go-to albums for you if you're a huge Paul Stanley fan, because Paul's voice is really, really good on the album itself, period. And it showcased more of Paul in a way, even though Gene had a couple of songs, you know. But I still think that King of the Mountain should have been released as a single, maybe like the second single at least. second single, you know. So that's just me. Whatever.
I think there were plenty of choices that could have been singles on there. Oh. I think if I've got to pick a favorite, it'll automatically be Tears Are Falling, just because again that's the video that I recall that made me the Kiss fan. I love the Who Wants to Be Lonely video. I love that. I think that should have been a single. That is such a great vocal by Paul. The video itself, just how he's sashaying down at the beginning. I mean, that's just the king of cool. I am cool. I am the breeze for Paul Stanley. That to me is everything that I projected onto Paul Stanley in the 80s of he is freaking cool. And I don't care what anyone thinks about the robe and the fluorescence. It fit with the time so perfectly. I didn't bat an eyelid at the time. I didn't think twice because I knew if I waited 5 minutes, a rat video would be on and they'd look ludicrous as well. You know, same with Motley. So again, the imagery for any of that, I think the Who Wants to Be Lonely, is that the one, which video is it that has Paul, Bruce falling backwards into the pool of water. I think that is, I mean, that's just a great video sequence there as well. But the girls kind of dancing in the shower booths, and it doesn't tell any story. It's just gratuitous.
I know. We know what it's all about. It's about sex. That's come on, point blank.
It's about testosterone.
It's about having fun in the shower.
God bless him. It made me smile. You know, it was much more fun to watch that than to go find a Sears catalog and look at the lingerie section.
It's better than watching and looking at a Nirvana thing. Anyways, all right, next.
Okay, so I think the All Night staging for the video is closest to what was actually used on the tour. It's got a little bit more of the stairs and kind of those few elements. Which stage did you see? I didn't see any, so I don't get to talk about seeing them on the Asylum tour. Because I wasn't going to any shows at that time, didn't have any money. So
what
did you see and what did you like?
All right. So when they came out, when the tour started, and I saw it three times, Worcester, Springfield, was it Rhode Island or Nassau Coliseum? So it might have been four. So I was lucky. Then when Kiss plays around up in this way, I'm one lucky SOB because – when they play up here, they would play up here. You know what I mean? There were bing, bing. There's so many like spots and I can reach.
And you had your Chevy Nova so you could go to the shows.
Well, it is a problem too. You didn't have GPS. So it was all by a map. You know, hold up the map while you're trying to drive.
It's amazing. We did manage to get places before GPS.
Yes, dangerously, but we did it. You know, anyways. So, you know, we got the tickets. So the show, I'll talk about the Worcester Central because that's the closest one to me. And anyways, and we went, it had the, you know, the huge Kiss, you know, which everybody can't, like a lot of people get all mad about the huge giant Kiss sign. What's the matter with it? They were just showing.
The best thing about it. It was like every year the logo got bigger.
Here we are. Bang. And I like how they use the colors and this and that. And I know, you know, some of the reviews, a light was out. Really? A light was out? You got to go bitch about a light was out. I did get to see what they, you know, I know they said they had taken some of the lightning bolts out, lightning bolt stairs.
Yeah.
I did see the stuff with the lightning bolt stairs. So that was cool. The thing, so now, you know, because you had sent me some stuff, but if anybody's out there, I'm always looking for stuff in my local area of the shows, but a girl that lived down the street from me she snuck in a camera, one of those ones you pull, you know, whatever. And she took a couple shots from the Worcester. Ooh. I mean, they're not the greatest.
No,
they're not great. I know they're not great, but
no, that is great.
You think that's great, but
I love it.
Yeah.
Come on. It doesn't have to be a Mark Wise photo to capture the moment.
No, it's 1985.
Most of us would have been sitting back there anyway.
Yeah, it's just because she was higher up. So it was like it was basically taking, well, I know they're in the thing. I didn't pull them out, but, you know, they were like a portable, the little throwaways. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So that's great.
So, you know, I can see that the stairs are there. You know, you can see that stuff like that. You know, and I loved it. You know, the thing was, it was just a big, again, it comes back to, it was about fun, partying, just having a blast. Close to home, which was awesome. the merchandise was just there because I bought everything. And he's like, you know, I bought all the shirts. I only had three shirts, four shirts. The baseball jersey one that they copy now that they've reissued. They have the one that Kiss that he blow up. I got that one. And then here's the one on the front album. Now, see, I told you, man, I loved it. I still have it, but I wore the crap out of it. It's absolutely punished.
Wait, did that start? And out I would, as black? You know,
that started. Yeah, it's seriously that was black. That was like the cover, and now it's just.
Yeah, I had totally a fair bootleg gone. One of those. I mean, my AC/DC Fly on the Wall one had blue sleeves, whatever those things are called. My Asylum one had the same color sleeves. You know, it was blue with black, and it was just the album cover. There was nothing on the back of it. That was my second ever heavy metal or hard rock T-shirt.
Yeah. Well, it does say Kiss Asylum, 1980, you know, 85, 86, but it's all torn and all gone.
You're never wearing that again. You need to get yourself a mannequin to put that in.
Yeah, I wore it once. I went to Eric's grave, I had just brought it with me. So, you know, of course, I bought all the pins, the buttons. You know, your local rocks, some of your local rock stores had pins too and all that. But Kiss did have, I think they did sell a pin or two at the shows. They're on my wall over here, the bandana, tour book, you know, everything. Went and bought, here we go, you know. And it also too is that, because it was December 20th when I saw him at the Worcester Centrum, that this is when Eric and they did the Christmas songs. This is when they jumped, you know, when Eric jumped and everybody was like, what the hell? Next thing they stopped, you know, and they did the Christmas tune, you know. I can't remember off the top of my head. Jeez, I'm being bad today. Yeah, thank you. White Christmas. So they did it the couple of shows because when they did it in Rhode Island, they did the same thing. And I was also at the infamous Asylum show in Springfield, Massachusetts, where it was General Mission. Well, that place is always crazy, General Mission at the time. Waiting and waiting outside for hours, of course, blow off school. Drive there with my friends, hang out all day. As soon as they open the doors, there's two things, and you just run in. I mean, but you're running like 100 yards to get inside, and they have to rip the tickets. So you're trying to get by them, and they're ripping the tickets, or they're not ripping the tickets. You're just like going. So I remember being down in front on Paul's side. I mean, literally Paul's side. Kiss starts coming out. The smoke's like everywhere. The crazy, crazy smoke, man. You can't see nothing. And all I see is I see a shoe. You hear the na 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 na. And all I see is out of the smoke. I see the smoke move. I see Paul's sneaker and shoe. And I see the robe that he's wearing flapping. I'm like, no shit. I'm like right here, right in front of them. And then the smoke clears away. And then they're in the start to Detroit Rock City. And all of a sudden you see them. They all back up and they all look at each other like, what just happened? Nothing's going on. They blew the power. That's the show that they had blown the power. And it took them like an hour or more for the power to come back on. So we had to wait an extra hour. And they added in Strutter, I think. That was like the special song they added in. So I loved the tour because it was fun. The guys seemed to be like relaxed. I mean, even though everything's kind of staged, it wasn't staged. Because, you know, the White Christmas thing, you know. They use confetti. I wish I was able to get confetti. I saw some online. Some guy had some for sale online from the Connecticut show. That would have been cool. But I wasn't down on the floor like that. I was kind of far back because I took my mother to one or two of them because my mom wanted to go. My mom's short too, and she likes Kiss and she loves the music. So, you know, I'm not going to try to get on the floor with my love being so small. Just like Kim nowadays. I got to sit back more, which is, you know, fine, whatever. But that's all it was. It was about partying, having fun, having great times with everybody, looking at girls looking at you, checking out clothes, back and forth, looking at them, they're looking at you, exchanging phone numbers, blah, 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 waiting for that phone call. Not a cell phone. The phone to ring and hope your mom didn't pick up, right?
we were young. It was just the other thing.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Now I'm bringing you back because I said I delivered newspapers. So here I am. The next morning, I got to deliver newspapers as usual, get up in the morning, go down the street, and whatever. I could not believe my eyes because I was like dumbfounded. I was like, I can't believe it. Here is Kiss on the front page of the Worcester Telegram. I absolutely lost my mind. I couldn't believe it.
Right.
Yeah. And Paul looking out into the crowd of 8,000 in the arena hold, like at the time, of like 10. Who cares? You know what? 8,000 people are losing their mind. You know what I mean? Oh, and I couldn't believe it. It just blew my mind seeing Paul Stanley going like this, looking out, and the big Kiss sign there, and Eric Cars way, way in the background, you know, on the drums. I'm thinking to myself, man, and look at me. I'm going to deliver these newspapers to everybody today that I have, like, I don't know, 150 newspapers. So I had to go up like 100. And here I am delivering these newspapers going, yeah, take this. Yeah, take that. You know what I mean? And then, of course, I saved a couple of them, and I wrote on one of them because the review kind of wasn't the greatest, you know, whatever. And I basically said, this guy sucks or something. I wrote my name on it, phone number, and I meant to bring it to the next day to the Springfield Mass show, and I forgot it because I was going to throw it up on stage. And I totally forgot it, but I still have the paper. Totally just, I don't know, we just had a lot of fun. It was a blast. And sometimes I wish I could just step back into that time zone and go back, but then there are other things I don't want to see back in that time zone. You know what I mean? So,
no, I mean, that's you got to live it back and just remember it for the good parts. I mean, they did quite a few songs early on in the tour. They'd done King of the Mountain live. They'd done Any Way You Slice It live. By the time they dropped those quickly, and you know, you're basically down to Tears Are Falling and All Night. Surviving. Can you have any favorite from the set that you saw, or was there any song that you wish that they had done live? That I mean, I guess it's going to be King, isn't it? That you'd love to have heard live.
I would have loved to hear any more from. See, this is the one thing on that tour that kind of it kind of irked me, is that here you are with a new album and you do the two songs. I know usually not everybody kind of knows it's like two, but it's just so wide. You know, you're hearing it. Oh man, they played King of the Mountain live. Then they took it off. That sucks. That would have been awesome to hear. I love Trial by Fire. I actually wrote that on my robe in high school because, you know, when you graduated back then, here we go. I have to say, oh, when I was, you know, back then they really prohibited you writing anything on your caps or robes. You were not allowed to do that. So when I graduated, I showed up at the last second, basically the walking line, and snuck in my line. I thought you could just hang around with friends and stuff. No, they actually put you in order of your name. So I was with people I had they weren't really my friends per se. And I was like, this is weird. Anyways, I stuck out and I had wrote on my back of my robe, Watch All World, Here I Come, or something like that. It had to be, I used the line from Trial by Fire. And I always thought that song's a great song. You know, I'm going to live my life the way I want to and screw everybody else. And, you know, now this is back then when you're not thinking about everything, you're just thinking about it. But now that I'm older and I've had issues, medical issues, and Kim's now, I met Kim and had medical issues and all stuff. You know what? We are living our lives the way we want to. And if everybody wants to join the ride, you're more than welcome. You know what I mean? So we're kind of like, even though we're older, we're doing like the 80s stuff. We're living our lives. You know what I mean? Yes, we have to go to work and everything else, but we're going to do what we want to do. You know what I mean? Just like,
oh, we work all day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Work all day, sleep all night, right? I don't know. Anyways,
the message of Kiss in the 1980s still resonates to this day. Live your life, stand up for yourself, believe in yourself, have a good time.
It's not hurting anybody,
doing bad shit to other people. It's about having a good time, believing in yourself. I mean, how empowering were the, you know, it was just music to us, but now it seems to have more meaning that we put into it because of everything that goes on in our lives and in the world that makes it much more real. It's like Paul Stanley wasn't telling you to go out and do anything. He was telling you to have a good time and let your hair down and to turn off all that other noise outside that was ruining your mood.
But not hurting anybody else. That was the thing. And exactly. that's the way everybody should be thinking nowadays.
It's not a very complex concept that needs to be translated. Be cool. Don't be a dick. I mean, that's one commandment needed.
Yeah. No. So, yeah, yeah. Anyways, it's a. I don't know. I try not to judge people, what they look like, how they dress, how they act, because I'm not your what you call your average either. So I don't even know what average is supposed to be. What's normal supposed to be?
What is normal?
That's what I mean. What is average? What is normal?
And who gets to define it? Screw that.
Yeah, that's right. I know who does. TV does. TV tells you what to do, how to look, how to be like this person. You got to be a supermodel. You got to look like this person. You know, you can't, you know, whatever. You know what I mean? So anyways, I don't really care what people say or think about me or whatever. I've never have, for the most part, say. But, you know, you got to live life and have fun. And I just want to bring this up just quick. I know this is, we're talking about old school. But, you know, with the 40th anniversary release of Kiss Asylum, I had to break down. Well, actually, I'm pissed because why didn't they release the CD in the USA? Again, this is one thing I'm still irked about. I know people are like, oh, you can buy it from Japan. I don't want to buy it from Japan. Why didn't they do the CD?
Oh, this one. For the off the soundboard that I just kind of teased.
Yes.
I forgot that this isn't out on CD here.
But. Yeah, that pisses me off. All right, come on, somebody, come on. Even if you make only 5,000
copies, come on, you can always get that.
Yeah. So I turned around and anyways, I did break down because I just thought it was cool the towel, the Kiss Asylum towel, and I'm telling you, it's not like super super thick, but it's not super super thin either. So it's got a good. It is. I think the colors pop too. I mean, it does look like. I mean, I don't know. I can't even get the full thing on here, but I mean,
of course, the colors pop. It's a Kiss Asylum. I just wish that logo for Asylum wasn't in red and was in the neon green, like on the album. That's the only thing that bothers me. It's great. It's a cool product.
I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'm gonna try it. It came, and I think it's pretty damn cool. So I bought that. I sucked it down and bought that. You know, I thought that was cool. But Kim had bought me this shirt a couple of years ago because we were going on a regular cruise and it was 80s themed and I had done the Animalize things enough times and I had enough thing, but I didn't have an Asylum shirt that would, I want to say fit. They're thin. You know what I mean? So I don't want to pull one over me and like it rips and I'm like, ah, damn it. You know, it's not because I want it for the money. I just want to have it to preserve because it's my memory. It's my child. You know, it's my teenage memories and a lot of them were good, even though if there were some not so awesome things at times or whatever, but for the Kiss stuff wise, wicked awesome for the most part.
And we're at the age now where we have to fixate on the positive memories. The negative ones only going to bring us down. You know, I tried to buy the Asylum picture disc because, again, this album is so important to my personal history. You know, it arrived damaged, which was unfortunate, and it went back. It pissed me off initially, but, you know, now I look back and I'm like, what do I need? Do I really need that to solidify my memories of this album? No, I've got the one thing that I need. And it to this day, it's my Kiss Rosetta Stone. It's the ad. I can't remember which magazine it was in. It was Accept No Imitations.
Oh, the No Imitations?
And back then, that doesn't have the same meaning that obviously with things that happen later. That put all that baggage away. That's a negative. That's a downer. But back then, to me, this ad said, accept no imitations. This is Kiss. I didn't know that there was anything to do with makeup, but I did see all those albums at the bottom. And that became my path. This was now a challenge. I had to collect them all. I had bought my first Kiss album in Asylum. I now had to complete the set to really have the full experience. So I started going down to Music City in Binghamton and picking out albums. Rock and Roll Over has a cool cover. You know, all what do I know about those albums as a newbie? I know nothing. So I judge them by the covers. Which one it looks interesting? Ooh, Rock and Roll Over, that's pretty. Ooh, that one's got girls on it. Ooh, that one's shiny. That one, ooh, Alive. Look at that cover. So that translated a whole world of meaningless into a musical life for me. Accept No Imitations. Yeah, I know people want to misconstrue that now, but back in 1985, when I knew nothing about nothing, that ad is solid gold to me. If I could have that blown up in a 5-foot print and put that on my wall, that ad, I would. No, I wouldn't, because it's tacky as hell, but you know, it still, that to me is everything.
Well, here's the other thing too that I had to think about this. You asked me what kind of got me about the shows. The other thing that got me, because it happened in at Animalize too, is that I bought the two posters. It irked me because it wasn't an Eric Carr or a Bruce poster. It irked me more because it wasn't an Eric Carr poster because he had been there longer for both years. So that kind of got me for the merchandise wise. The other thing it got me a little bit too is like they had so many albums out at that time. Why did they play the Who's Won't Get Fooled Again? I still don't understand that on that tour. Like that's one of the things that I don't understand that. I wish they had got rid of that and played King of the Mountain, Trial by Fire, Love's a Deadly Weapon. I mean, come on. You know, even if they did some, you know, something different from Animalize, you know, something else, you know, I still, that's what I don't get. I don't get the Who's Won't Get Fooled Again, why they played it all. And
what were they doing during Animalize? Winchester Cathedral and Oh Susanna. Come on, I'll take
Susanna
again any day of the week. But I think it should have been a cover on the album, an 11th track.
Oh yeah, I guess she could have. But you know, I mean, back then, no, right? When you go to a show to see a band, you want the band's music. Me personally, if I'm going to see somebody, I want their music. But yeah, I just thought it would have been so cool if they had played more.
Those weren't like 2-hour shows, I don't think. They were more like 80 minutes.
Fast and Furious.
They were Fast and Furious. Eric's long solo took up a bit. Was Paul doing his Black Diamond thing? I know Bruce got a solo, I believe. So there was quite a lot of and Paul's raps. You know, you could have gotten 2 or 3 more songs than if you'd, you know, edited it down. But maybe it was pacing. Maybe it was, you know, this is just what we want to present. I don't know the reasons. But I listened back to the shows from this tour.
And
they're pretty good performances. Bruce really had come into his own. Animalize and Asylum, I mean, they're sister albums in many ways. You know, there's not a whole lot of difference. I think Paul's production is way better on Asylum. And Bruce's obviously playing on Asylum and only plays on a couple of songs on Animalize. But in terms of the tour, this is like mid Eric Carr career, full power Kiss. They are firing on all cylinders. They are they're
tearing it up.
It's full throttle.
Okay, and Eric Carr, man, it's just unbelievable. And the drums, his solos are so awesome. I could imagine what Eric would have done if he was still alive and they kept going on, what would he have been like? Even more crazy, you know, if they didn't back the reunion or that's another story. That's a whole other ballgame. Anyways, it was just fun, dude. That's all I can say for the people who weren't there and you just see an album cover, or you just see the stuff and you just go, oh my God, I hate that stuff. You hate this stuff. It's the last Kiss album that had guts. That had punch to it. Gene's punch. Love's a Deadly Weapon. Come on. Trial by Fire is a really good song. I mean, maybe the hokiest pokey song on there is probably like, you know, the Right After Love. It's probably my least favorite.
It's still got a great riff. But musically, they're all very unified.
Yeah, but I think that one's the Right After Love is kind of like trying to do. It's like Paul Stanley trying to do a Led Zeppelin kind of thingy, I think, for the time. Yeah. So, but other than that, it was just a full-out fun album and fun tour and fun all around. That's all I can say. I mean, if you weren't there, I feel bad for you, because if you're a kid now and you love this album, you would have lost gone crazy. You know what I mean? You didn't have cell phones. You either had to put a pocket in your pants, you know, shove it places that you didn't want to, you know, throw that camera. And kids were just going nuts. And there was, you see the bootleg. There's a bootleg out there. New York, look at the Madison Square Garden show. Watch that show. If you've never seen that MSG show, I think it's MSG, and that show of them, they're all going crazy. That audience is going absolutely nuts, and the band's going nuts. Running around, Gene's running around, everything else. And think about this. Here's another thing I thought about. All right, if Kiss Asylum was so bad as some Kiss fans say and all this, why was that one of the only tour that played MSG? Right? Creatures, no. Lick It Up, no. You know, Animalize, no. None of those tours. So Kiss Asylum was the only tour in the 80s that played at MSG. And then the last one was, you know, Hot in the Shade. And that didn't get until like in the 90s, 92, 91, by the time they got there, maybe. Late 90? Yeah, late 90, November. So think about that. So Kiss Asylum couldn't have been that bad, you know, as no, people say. So,
but again, there was a lot of competition at the time.
Oh, of course.
But that's
still, they were 10 to 15 years younger.
Yeah, but that's what makes it such a great time for me, is that, you know, yeah, all of this combines into one thing. It's not just about Kiss for me, Asylum. I'm glad at least that I get to say I became a Kiss fan because of Kiss Asylum versus, say, Crazy Nights. And there's not that there's anything wrong with that for those people who that is the entry point or any album. But for me, with the difference between my reaction to Crazy Nights versus, you know, this was a band that I was settling down for the long follow on, you know, and then you get Crazy Nights the next year and I'm like, this, I wanted more. I love the sound. This is a very, I guess, a New York album. From that, it's got rough edges. It's got rawness, you know, like Done with Mirrors. It's unpolished. It's, you know, it's definitely got room for improvement, but it doesn't need any improvement because it encapsulates that time for me perfectly. Just about any song on this album could be performed live, other than Who Wants to Be Lonely. I mean, even Radar for Love could be done live. I'm Alive could be done live. Trial by Fire could be done live. Obviously, they tried King of the Mountain and Any Way You Slice It. Love's a Deadly Weapon can be done live. Oh, it's an album that's made to be played. It's an album that's made to be played loud. It's an album that makes me smile. That, to me, is all I need.
Yeah. Okay, then there's one more other thing that I wish I could have switched for that tour. Me personally, I got stuck with Black and Blue. Sorry. And I'm hearing all these people later at Wasp. And I was like, oh, my God, you got to be kidding me. Wasp opened up a Kiss on the Asylum tour. But, of course, when I look it up, they never – not around here. Every time, it was like, what the – I got stuck with Black and Blue. And everybody's like, I love Black and Blue. I would have took Wasp over Black and Blue any day of the week. Thank you, me personally. That would have been like – I would have really – lost my mind. That would have been, I mean, that would have been a double thing, just like it was for the Animalize thing.
Yeah, but then so. Again, all these bands were, you know, the opening acts were kind of a dime a dozen. You could slot any one of them in at the time for what they were choosing. Queensryche, Wasp, Black and Blue, they were all at the same kind of level, you know, that they weren't too competitive, but they were enough to bring more butts into the seats to sell more tickets because they were all getting similar sorts of exposure on MTV. So the packages made sense, even if, you know, Black and Blue, I mean, Black and Blue did nothing for me at the time, but yet I own all their albums. Go figure. There we go. Even bought their new single. But all right, that's more than enough on this side of Asylum. This is the fan excitement moment. Last thoughts.
All right, I get it. I know. Yeah, I only. What are your favorite two songs off the whole album? I'm throwing this out to Adam right now. Your two favorite.
For me.
Yeah, I just said two. Why not? You know, I just I put you on the spot.
It's got to be King of the Mountain, number one, top favorite song off this album, because that's the first one that plays on the cassette. That I remember the first time I had the album and I put it into my boombox and I pressed play. You can never go back to that moment. And I say bullshit to that. I go back to that moment every time I press play on this album. The same thing I felt then, I feel now. And then it's got to be, I'll have to go with Tears Are Falling. I mean, again, that's the song that wrote me in. If I don't pick it, you know, I could easily go with Who Wants to Be Lonely because I absolutely adore that song. But Tears Are Falling, the solo on that, just the whole song, the song craft, the execution, the sound, the video, it's just glorious. Give me those two. You got your bombastic King of the Mountain, and you've got your typical Paul Stanley in his prime vocally and in terms of songwriting right there. What about you?
One's more of a sentimental. I picked Trial by Fire because it means a lot back then and it means a lot now. If you listen to the words and stuff, live your life. who cares what anybody else thinks? As long as you're not hurting anybody, it's all good. And I agree with you, King of the Mountain, with Eric Carr playing those drums, the way that starts, and Paul giving it his, like, all, like, full-out rock. I'm the rock god. I'm the King of the Mountain. And that's probably one of my favorite Paul Stanley songs out of the whole 80s era, out of all those songs, out of not just that album either, just in general out of the 80s there. That's Paul at his, like, peak, you know, I'm the king. I run this band. I'm the King of the Mountain on this album. I'm the king. So, yeah, especially if you're a huge Paul fan. And, you know, granted, Paul wasn't even, like, my favorite, you know. So those are my two. Anyways, that's those are my two.
And that's going to be the perfect ending point for everyone else who's watching this. You know, let's see where these songs finish up on the ranking episode. But what are your two favorite songs from Kiss Asylum? What's your favorite memory of the era? If you don't have a favorite memory, I don't want to hear about it. What is your favorite memory? Because we're celebrating Kiss here. To me, I'm going to end this episode right here, and I'm going to go listen to Kiss Asylum again. I strongly recommend it. If you're feeling down in the dumps and you need something to pick you up, forget about it again. Go listen to Kiss Asylum, celebrating its 40th anniversary. And here's a toast to Eric Carr 40 years. And Bruce Kulick, too, for everything they brought to the band at this time. Thanks for joining.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Bye, everybody. 40 years. Woo!
Thank you for spending time listening to the KISS FAQ podcast today. All sales are final. There are no refunds. If you'd like, look us up on Facebook or come over to the message board and discuss the topics we've broadcast today. Don't forget to hit subscribe wherever you've listened to this show, and a like would very much be appreciated. We hope you'll join us again, but until then, remember, life's a radio. Turn it up to 10.